Amen. Well, welcome to Crossroads, everybody. Welcome. My name's Kyle. I'm our lead pastor who never met before. Pumped that you're with us. Excited for this message. Wrapping up a series today. By the way, if you're part of Crossroads and part of our 10X push, I'm going to give you some updates later on. I think I'm going to encourage you. But first, it's the time to conclude this series called Unplug. If you're brand new, it's a series about disconnecting from technology, about taking a step back from it. Last week of the series. Next week, we're going to start a new series about going full Amish. Everybody's going to grow a beard. We're going to learn to churn butter, make our own shoes. It's going to be great. Can't wait for that. No. Boy, the point of this series is not to become Amish. That's not clear. It's not to be anti-technology. We're saying what would happen if we took a step back from technology and learned how to use it to give us life instead of it taking life from us. On Wednesday this past week, we started a 40-day digital fast as a part of that. It lines up with the tradition called Lent, the 40 days leading up into Easter. Really, really old tradition. Dates all the way back to the second century, about 100 years after the first followers of Jesus. In the year 325, at the Council of Nicaea, it was officialized as 40 days. Why did I just tell you those boring history facts? So that you know there's a powerful tradition of people following Jesus and using this exact time that we're in right now to be conformed more into his image. Amazingly, we've had over 12,000 people sign up for the digital fast so far. Let's go. 12,000 people. A lot of times you're trying to make a change in your life. The momentum of people in your corner going in the same direction is critically important. There's lots of momentum. It's not too late to jump in, by the way. If you want to jump in, you can totally do that. We've got an amazing landing page to help you connect to resources. You go to crossroads.net/unplug, or you can look in the Crossroads app and find out more all about that. The idea is simple. You pick whatever you want to fast from. Social media, the news, you can chuck your phone in the river. Doesn't really matter. Whatever you want to do, it's great. For me, I'm fasting from all forms of social media, and I'm also taking a break from my research. Currently, my research is focused on YouTube and woodworking tools that I need. Do a lot of research. It's just online shopping. That's all I do. Just like, think about it as research makes it a little bit less bad. Turns out it's online shopping, so taking a break from that too. Now, a good question to ask at this point would be, why in the world would a church do a digital fast? I mean, we all know these things are bad, right? We get it. It's not a surprise. But we also know that donuts are bad. And we're not doing a fast from donuts. And I want to promise you, as your lead pastor on my watch, we will never do a fast from donuts. Never. Unless the tariffs get too bad. And then we might have to make some adjustments. I don't know. Tim Hortons is from Canada. We'll see. Anyway, probably too soon for a tariff joke, isn't it? Too soon. I apologize. It's my fault. Now, why a digital fast? Why would a church tackle this? It's because this thing is not new. We think it's new. It looks like it was just invented. But this piece of technology is actually one of the oldest things invented, one of the earliest pieces of technology that anthropologists have found just in disguise in the shape of a phone. Now, that piece of technology was developed about 4,500 years ago in both Greece and Egypt simultaneously. It's the fork. This tool turns out to be a fork. Why do I say that? Because we use this to consume things, to consume again and again and again. And the things we consume with this turn out to have a much bigger impact on us than donuts. See, when you use this to consume fear in your life, you become fearful. When you use this to consume judgment, you become judgmental. When you use this to consume quick sound bites in your life, you become shallow-minded. See, what you become is who you are. And that's the big reveal at the end of this series. It's not actually about technology at all. This is a series about consuming and becoming. Said simply, what you consume is who you become. Now, I don't know what you think the primary focus of Jesus is. I know a lot of us come from different church backgrounds and different experiences. And you might think that the goal of the Bible, the goal of Jesus, is to make you into a moral person, to get you to conform your behavior. Turns out that's not actually what he's about. See, his primary focus is not how you behave, it's who you become. I love how the great theologian Dallas Willard put this. He said, the most important thing in your life is not what you do. It's who you become. That's what you'll take into eternity. It's who you become that matters. God's goal is not to get you to stop doing the bad stuff and start doing the good stuff and become more moral. That's all good. Let's do that stuff. But it's not the ultimate destiny, aka your destiny in your life that he has for you. It's not the destination. He has a different destination for you that he makes very, very clear. It's to be conformed to the image of Jesus. He literally says it is the destiny he's laid out for you. It says this in Romans 8:29, among many other places. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Your destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Last week, Chuck talked about this verse, Romans 12:2. He said, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. He said, our goal is to not be a conformer, but to be a transformer. But do you know what turns out? The way you become a transformer is you do conform to Christ, not to the world. I think one of the most boring or biggest sins a church can commit is to make following Jesus, the life of a Christian, sound safe and sound boring. No. If the longer you follow Jesus, the more boring and the more safe your life is becoming, you're doing it completely wrong. Because the longer Jesus lived, his life didn't get safer. It didn't get more boring. It got more heated. He started battles. He went to the cross. He won a war. And he's pushing. He's so pushed. He became more adventurous. He became more impactful. It's a point where he changed the world. 2,000 years later, we're in this room talking about him. It's because he changed the world. And to be conformed to his image means that you get conformed to the same thing. God wants you to become a world changer. In fact, not just him. He says the entire world is waiting for you to start conforming to Christ and become a transformer. He says the entire world waits. Listen to this, Romans 8:19. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed, that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage of decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. It says the creation waits for who? The children of God, which is you. It's you. God literally says the whole world is waiting for you. Not for some of us, for all of us. That's why the Crossroads mission statement reads the way that it does. Maybe you're newer, maybe you've been here a long time, you can't remember it. That's okay. We don't get it all that often. But it says this: our mission is to connect seekers to a community of growing Christ followers who are changing the world. Not a community growing Christ followers who are becoming more safe and uninteresting. No, not that. Who are changing the world. See, but unless we become like Christ, when we get to the world, we have nothing to offer. But becoming is the process of consuming what will over time conform you to Christ. I know there's a couple moves there. I'm going to read that again for you. Becoming is the process of consuming what will over time conform you to Christ. See, this fast, this whole digital series, it's a complete waste of time if you don't replace consuming crap on your phone with time spent consuming what will conform you to Christ. It's a waste of time. Turns out that you don't automatically get conformed to Christ. Wish it worked that way. It doesn't work that way. I've never woken up and been like, oh my gosh, I'm just more loving. I'm just more courageous. This doesn't happen. There's no such thing as accidental growth. This is where the world and God have very different ideas of how you become who you're meant to be. Very different ideas. The world says that it's an inward journey of discovering and uncovering your true self. That's how you find out who you're meant to be. And God says, no, it's not that at all. You don't uncover and discover your true self. You conform to Christ over time. It's a journey of consuming his word, which will conform you. It doesn't mean just simply reading the Bible. Yes, that. Yes, absolutely. But taking his word into your life, his instructions for life about how to think and how to act and what's important, what to do, and letting that bend you. You bend your life to the truth. There's another way to say this that's probably a lot more simple. I probably should have started with, you are what you eat. If you remember nothing else today, you are what you eat. And the question is, what have you been eating? What are you eating? Now, I've eaten some interesting things in my life recently, very interesting things. It's because I took a trip to Nepal, which I'll tell you more about later on, why I was there, what I saw, all that stuff in a little bit. But before I left, I was in a meeting, and I had noticed that a lot of people who go to Nepal seem to come back sick. And I just asked an innocent question. I said, hey, so how many people, like what percent would you say, who go to Nepal get sick? And the answer from the leader was, everybody, actually. Every single person who's ever gone to get horribly sick. I was like, okay. He was like, yeah, actually, literally handed me some Pepto-Bismol. You might want to start taking this right now, you know, just kind of shore things up, get a little foundation in your stomach. You might want to get a prescription for Cipro from your doctor, which if you're not a doctor like me, Cipro is a prescription for traveler's diarrhea, which is a form so bad you need something more than Pepto to kind of plug everything back up in there. So I said, okay, that's good. I'll do those two things. But, you know, like if I didn't want to get sick, well, what might I do? And I said, well, okay, there's two things. One, avoid eating anything weird. You know, stick to like chicken or whatever. Don't eat anything weird. And then two, don't eat anything washed in water. I was like, okay, cool. I got it. I can totally do that. That's not a big deal. And then I found myself here inside this local village leader's house in rural Nepal on the floor. And he served us something that was very special in his area. It was this bowl right here, which is frog. Dehydrated frog that was then put into water and rehydrated. Okay, so just kind of looking at our things here. Okay, just check number one. It's kind of weird. It's a frog. It's weird. Chocolate. Not green beans. I know you think it's green beans. No, it's frog. Pieces of frog just chopped up. As it gets frog, that's kind of weird. And then two, was it in water? Well, it's a frog. It lived in water, so yeah. And then it was rehydrated with even more water just to like triple check all the things, okay? Now, did I eat it or not? Before I tell you that answer, you got to know two things about me. One, I have the opposite of irritable bowel syndrome. I have an ironclad trash can for a stomach. You could take the nuclear waste from Chernobyl, put it in here, be fine. Not a problem for me. Okay, number two, I am what my wife describes as overly confident, okay? So, I was like, bowl of frog, eat the frog, you know, went in Rome, went in Nepal, threw it down, ate it. It would taste like what you think it would taste like. It was also very green. I didn't have a napkin, and we had our shoes off, so I was like eating it with my fingers, and then I wiped them on my white socks. And you know, like when in the springtime, you slide in the grass as a kid, and you get that like, bright green grass stain on your knee. It was like that on my sock, only it was bits of frog, okay? Real gross, real nasty. I did eat it, and miracle of miracles, I didn't get sick. It had no effect on me. Miraculous. What does that have to do with anything? Well, it's the opposite of us and what we consume on our phones. That's what. See, turns out that this has an effect on us, whether or not we think it will. Even if we think we have an ironclad brain that's immune to it, even if we think we'll be fine, I know we've read the stats, it'll affect everybody else, it won't affect me. No. It does have an effect on you and on me. And that effect is really simple. It puts us to sleep. It's not an accident. It's actually an act of war. The Bible says that you and I have an enemy, and that enemy, his strategy is pretty simple. It's to get the opposite army, us, to just fall asleep and not even fight. In the first week of this series, and Chuck also mentioned this in one of the last couple of weeks, Brian read this verse out of the book of Ephesians. It says, therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And then here's the very next words. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Now this phrase, making the best use of the time, it's actually one Greek verb that means to redeem the time. Redeem the time. Now, what's redemption? To redeem something, or redemption, is when you take something of lesser value and you exchange it for something of higher value. You take a worthless paper coupon and you go to Chick-fil-A and they give you a free sandwich. Praise God, right? Amazing. Redemption. It's beautiful. And God says, this is what I want you to do with your time. Redeem the time. Exchange it for something of greater value than you've been exchanging it for before. Use it to conform to Christ in order to transform the world. At Crossroads, we have a small but mighty research team here, a couple staff members, and a team of amazing volunteers who do incredible, world-class research. And they surveyed thousands and thousands of people, and they found that the number one thing that leads to someone being conformed to Christ, to being transformed, to growing in Him, the number one thing is spending time with God's Word. Literally, they said, if you'll just do it one time a month, it's the most powerful thing you can do for your faith. And so my question to you is, what would happen if you didn't just start the fast? And we're a couple days in. That's awesome. We started. That's cool. Lots of people start. Few people finish anything. What would happen if you finished the fast? Well, over 40 days of spending time with God, would you notice a change? And the answer is yes, absolutely. And if you have any questions, I go, well, why don't we just find out? Now, we've got a lot of different tools at Crossroads. I mentioned some more in a little bit, but one of them I want to invite you into is to study God's Word with me and many other people in our community. And we've made a devotional guide inside of the Crossroads Anywhere app. You can find it right at the top of the home screen in the app. You can also just click the scripture if you want to go straight there. This is a screenshot of my actual phone. See, I'm on day two, completed day two. Day three is tomorrow. Every day I'll be in there reading scripture, and I would love to read with you. I promise you, it will change you. Why? Because small daily pressure is what being conformed is. 2 years ago, I was on this stage and I was preaching a message, and I made a joke about having bad teeth. And they're pretty bad, by the way. Here's a picture of my bad teeth, if you don't believe me. Let's get a little bit closer. Let's get a little closer than that. Because a little bit closer would be really good. There we go. Not great, okay? But those suckers came in about the third grade. And so I had lived for such a long time in my life. To be honest, I didn't even think about it that often because I didn't think it could change. It just was the way that it was. And so I'm preaching this message and I make this joke about teeth, and this amazing orthodontist who's become a great friend to me and Sarah, named Grace Kerr, she just reached out and she emailed me. She said, hey, basically, I can help you with that. It can change. And I was like, what? It can? She said, yeah, come in for a consultation. So I went in and went to her office, and she told me that she couldn't change my teeth overnight. That wasn't going to be possible. But she did say if I was willing to endure small daily discomfort of having my teeth conform to a new shape, she said, put these little plastic trays in my mouth. And if you would do that, over the course of 18 months, my teeth would completely transform. And I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. Why not? And these are my teeth right now. I've had my last orthodontist appointment with her, and they're perfect. It's crazy. I mean, look at these things. Unbelievable, right? Crazy. Small daily discomfort is the only process of being conformed. My question for you is, what in your life have you given up on ever changing? What in your life do you think is beyond the boundary of conforming to Christ? What have you just accepted as it's been this way for so long? It's just the way it is. Is it your physical health? Is it your flatline marriage? Is it your broken relationship with your kids? Is it the distance you feel between you and God? What is it? Whatever it is, I promise, it probably can't change overnight. Just want to be true. That's it. Honest. Can't change overnight. But, if you will endure small daily discomforts, like spending time with God intentionally every day, praying every day, getting in scripture every day, practicing gratitude every day, I promise you will see change in your life that will add up to transformation. You can become a world-changing, including your world-changing, follower of Jesus if you're willing to endure the difficulty and the discomfort. Unfortunately, many people aren't. Many people aren't. It's a great Catholic theologian named G.K. Chesterton. He said this: the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. Rather, it has been found difficult and left untried. It's an incredible quote. I read that speaking in the Crossroads app in Justin Mosteller's journal. You know, it was a real kind of Michael Scott, Wayne Gretzky kind of situation going on there with the quote. But it's a powerful one, right? Powerful. It's just been left untried. And my question again for you is have you tried it? Because the world's waiting for you to make the choice to take conforming to Christ seriously, and not just the world, but God is too. We heard that verse earlier, right before that song played. It was Isaiah 6:8. It said, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" I think for a lot of us, we hear that question, God asking, who will go, whom shall I send? And we think God's asking for suggestions, you know, like, I nominate Gary. I think Gary would be an excellent choice. Tanner in accounting, not really sure what he does around here. Probably spare him, it'd be great. But it's not actually God looking for suggestions. There's only one right answer. When you hear God say, who will go for us? The right answer is, here I am, you can send me, because it's my fight. I was reading in the Crossroads app last week about the story of King Ahab, 1 Kings chapter 20. Ahab, if you don't know, is literally the worst. He's the worst king in the history of Israel. And unfortunately for him, we know that because God specifically and intentionally wrote into the Bible, he's the worst, everybody. It's his legacy. And there's this scene, God's still very patient with him, he's very gracious with him, he gives him chances time and time again, but there's this scene in 1 Kings chapter 20 where a rival king comes to attack Israel, and God sends a prophet to Ahab to say, don't worry, I'm going to help you win this battle. And here's Ahab's response, 1 Kings 20:14. Ahab says this, and who will start the battle? He asked. The prophet answered, you will. You stupid, what do you mean? You're the king. What do you mean it's because you? And I get crazy, you know, I read that. I was like, oh my gosh, Ahab, he sucks so bad. He is the worst, you're right. And I stepped back. I was like, man, God, how many times in my life have I taken that same attitude? How many times in my life have I noticed that my wife seems discouraged and I just thought, man, I hope she figures that out. How many times in my life have I noticed my kids? They're just disconnected. And I thought, man, I hope a friend sends them a nice text, you know? How many times in your life have you done that? How many times have you looked at a problem in your own home or a problem in your own workplace or your own neighborhood or even a problem on the other side of the world and thought, man, I really hope someone comes along and deals with that? The truth of what God is saying to us is, you know, there is no someone. Someone isn't going to come along and change your marriage. Someone isn't going to come along and change your relationship with your kids. Someone isn't going to come along and help you feel more joy and more purpose. Someone isn't going to come along and solve that a giant issue on the other side of the world that bothers you. It's not going to happen. Someone is you. As a church, if you want to understand Crossroads, maybe you're new since Christmas or since Super Bowl or preaching and you're just trying to figure out what is this place and what are they about, this is us. We assume that when there's problems in the world, whether it's the world far away or the world in our own house, we assume that we are God's plan A and there is no plan B. That doesn't mean we assume we as a church are better than everybody else. No, not at all. There are many incredible churches who are so much better at so many things than us and are called to different things than us. And thank God for that. That's amazing. But we assume when we see a problem and it bothers us and we can't shake it, that's one that God wants us to dive into. That there's somebody in that situation that's counting on us to be conformed so they can be transformed. And that's why I was in Nepal eating frogs. That's how I got there. It's because 15 years earlier, Brian Tome, our senior pastor, took a trip to just south of Nepal to India. If you're not familiar with the geography, Nepal's this little country that sits just north of India. It's the size of about Tennessee. And Brian was in India. He was learning about the human trafficking issue there, specifically around the sex industry, how girls are being kidnapped out of Nepal and brought into India. Reason being, Nepal is very, very poor, if you didn't know. They currently have 50% unemployment. And so families get desperate and they see no other solution to paying for food, staying alive, than unfortunately sometimes selling off a daughter. And the border between Nepal and India is completely open. You don't need a passport to pass, so it's very, very easy to travel between the two countries, and that adds up to this massive problem. And Brian, when he went over there, he didn't go, "Man, really hope someone figures this out." No, he said, "God, this breaks my heart. And I have no idea what we as a church on the other side of the globe, I have no idea how we would help. I would have no idea how we could help be part of the solution to this problem, but I'm committed to be in because I see the problem and I assume we're plan A and there is no plan B." And so for 15 years, our church has been helping rescue girls out of sex slavery on the other side of the world. That's why. Now, we're not done, not even close to done. We're stepping up and taking on more responsibility through the 10X push. The 10X push was a journey that we went on in the fall where we committed above and beyond our regular giving for 3 years. Over 5,000 families did it, to the tune of over $200 million, a lot of money to invest into problems around the world. And it's been an amazing journey. And so I went over to Nepal to look at some of our partners because we take investing incredibly seriously. We don't want to waste a single dime, a single dollar. And so I went over there to talk to our partners, sharpen the pencil on some of the plans, and really see everything firsthand, make sure that we understand, make sure that all the ducks are in a row, all that kind of stuff. And by the way, those 5,000, about half of us have gotten started so far on our commitment, which is great. That's really, really great. Thank you, thank you, thank you if you're in the 50% that has started. For Sarah and I, this issue of getting started and completing, not just starting, but finishing it, is an issue of being conformed to Christ. We've had some hard conversations in our house, to being honest, in the last week or so, going, okay, there's the initial excitement around committing and getting out and going, and we got started, and now we're like, how are we going to climb this giant mountain of a commitment over the next few years? What are the sacrifices we're going to make? What does this mean for us? But we're committed because we're committed to being conformed to Christ, and Christ said this in Matthew 5:37. He said, "But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Let your yes be yes." Part of being conformed to the image of Christ. And see, when you're in the process of being conformed, it can get uncomfortable because you got to keep showing up day after day after day after day. And when it gets uncomfortable, it's really critical to remember why you want to be conformed in the very first place. And for me, when it comes to the 10X push and it comes to Nepal, it all starts with Anjali. This is Anjali right here. First time our church was ever introduced to her was this video. This is a still from the video. This is 10 years ago, and I was the one doing this interview. And Anjali had recently been rescued, and she was in the process for the very first time being conformed to Christ. When she came out of the brothel, she had never heard of Jesus, and she was learning about him and changing, but she was very understandably at this point still pretty fragile. In fact, when we were filming this interview, we were asked to not have any of our crew talk to her or look her in the eye. I was the only one allowed to actually have a conversation with her because, again, understandably, she was very fragile. Well, can I tell you how she has been transformed by being conformed to Christ? She is incredible. When I was in Nepal, I got to go visit her school, which we helped start a number of years ago. She went back to her village. She started this school. Currently, it's preschool through third grade. And she is an amazing leader. Anjali is an incredible leader. I've gotten the opportunity to go around the world and visit lots of schools in developing countries because a lot of times the problem is education. And so part of the solution is often to start a school and see many great schools. This is the best one I've ever seen. I mean, the staff is amazing, the kids are amazing, and Anjali is an incredible leader. She has 20 staff, 140 students, and part of what we're going to invest in through the push is her expanding her school, and I promise you, it will not be the last time, because she's an amazing investment.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us on YouTube. There's a part of the Crossroads service today and some stories that are shared within it that for safety reasons of those involved, we're not going to be able to share on this platform. So if you want to catch the full story of both what God is doing through Crossroads and, man, what he's doing in some really incredible individuals' lives, you can just head on over to crossroads.net to make that happen. We'll see you there.
And do you know there are many more people like her on the other side of the world waiting for you to be conformed so they can be transformed? Many of them. Now, the partner who Anjali went and lived in an aftercare home with, who facilitated her being conformed to Christ, is a longtime partner of ours in Nepal. They're called Apple of God's Eyes, phenomenal organization. And if you're part of the 10X push, this is the campus or the compound that we're going to help fund and build, an amazing expansion. When I was over there, I got to go and visit some of their homes. I got to walk the property where this building, the new compound, is eventually going to go. This is it right here behind me. It's that entire circle. Interestingly, this is mustard seed. Do you know what the Bible says about mustard seed? That it starts small and grows into a tree. It's like the kingdom of God that covers the whole earth and provides shade for everybody. It's growing everywhere in this property. Absolutely crazy. Got a chance to visit the property, got a chance to visit some of the homes and meet some of the girls in the homes. They're absolutely incredible. I mean, vibrant and alive. Every home I went into, the first thing they did is they'd pull out a guitar and they'd start playing worship songs. Not always amazingly, you know, sometimes the guitar's out of tune. That's okay. Sang worship songs, and they would grab my hand and take me around and be so proud to show me the home that they live in the room they were staying in. They're just alive. One 14-year-old told me that she dreams of being a doctor someday, and I promise you that's exactly what she's going to be. Exactly. These kids have been transformed. It's incredible. Now, I got to go walk this property. A property where we're going to invest millions of dollars helping bring an expansion to the ministry. And while I was there, I shot a little video. If you didn't notice, with Anjali, these are all iPhone videos. The purpose of this trip was not big production filming things. It was all just somebody with an iPhone filming it. So you hear some wind noise. But I want you to hear part of this conversation I had with David, who's the son of the founders of Apple of God's Eye and the leader currently. Check this out. I'm on the property that you all have heard about here with David from Apple of God's Eyes. And you were saying earlier, let me just share about this, the number of girls that you receive every week.
Yeah.
And that number is going up.
That number is going up. So unfortunately, the scenario in country is getting worse. Internal trafficking is getting worse. And as so, our new relationship with the federal government, we're receiving around 3 to 5 girls a week now, all of them underage, youngest being single digit, and the oldest, you know, 18, 17, and all of them having years already spent in brothels. And so the scenario in the country is changing, and as such, we as a ministry have also been forced to expand what we do.
Yeah, so expansion because the need is expanding.
Expansion. We are growing because things are getting worse. Unfortunately, that is the reality of what's going on.
We're on the property.
We are.
What goes where?
So right behind where you are and where you're standing is going to be our school. Uh-huh. And right here is the most important part where our homes are going to go. We have 6 homes. They're going to be in a semicircle right here with... starting where that tree and that line is right there, all the way back there to where the corner is, divided into 2 homes, yeah.
Okay, tell us about the one that's furthest away, the Shalom home. What that is and why you have it.
So the Shalom home, which we call ICU home, is the home where when the girls first come, that's where they go.
Yeah.
It is the only home where the girls need supervision 24/7. And it's separated and more guarded because they're prone to running away because it's a new environment and they don't know that where they are now is better from where they were. So they were trying to escape from where they were before.
Yeah.
And when they come here, the mentality does not change. And so until they know and they get used to us and they realize that we love them and we're here to take care for them, they have to stay at a home where they need constant care.
Yeah.
And not only that, they have a lot of abuse, problems with drugs, physical abuse, and so that home provides them with a psychiatrist, but it provides them with like things like, for example, cigarettes for 3 months, or medication that is, you know, prescription medication for a certain amount of time. And so that home needs to be separated from all the other homes where there is, that you'll see much more freedom, no walls. It's a family that decide what they want to do.
Yeah.
But that home specifically requires constant attention.
Yeah. How will this property change your ministry?
It will let us be more independent, first of all.
Yeah.
Where we will officially have our own base. Place that belongs to us, that is apple of God's eyes, until God tells us to do something else, and which I don't think he will anytime soon. But that it will allow us to do that, which we never have been able to do.
Yeah.
We've always been having to transition from one home to the other because we're on rent.
Yeah.
And this place will allow us to set a permanent base, a permanent footprint on the community and on the country.
Yeah.
As the ministry.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We'll read just 2 Corinthians 3:18. It describes what it's like to be awake. It says this, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." We're being transformed into the kind of people who wake up to the problems of the world and who say, "God, you can use me to transform whatever you want. I want to be a world changer like you." But to be that, you first got to go through the process of being conformed. You got to. This brings us back to this digital fast thing that we're doing. It's to conform all of us to Christ more and more over the next 40 days. Now, I want to leave you with a couple rails and some tools, right? Before, but we're almost done. Just a couple rails and some tools that we have for you at Crossroads. First, some rails. I know that this digital thing is difficult. And so I want to give you some really explicit, practical things that you might want to apply to your life from the Ranson family. See, long before the digital fast, we have been weird with technology. We don't do technology the way that everybody else does it. Number one, in the morning, for me personally, when I wake up, the first thing I do is I spend time with God. I do not check my phone. I don't look at the news. I don't check text messages. I don't have conversations. Why? Because I don't want the first thing in my day to be conformed to what's happening on ESPN.com. That's why. I don't want the first thing in my day to be whatever's happening on CNN.com or Fox News or whatever your website of choice is for news. I don't want that. I want God to form my day. First thing I do. Number two, as parents, Sarah and I have set some pretty interesting rules in our house. And parents, I want you to know you can be weird. It's okay. For us in our house, our kids don't get phones until right before eighth grade starts. That means they're the last kid in their friend group with a phone. My son used to go to student ministry at Crossroads. They put up QR codes for camp and games and whatever. And he's like, "Dad, I can't even do church right because I don't have a phone." And I was like, "Well, sucks to be you because you're not getting one. Sorry. Too bad." It was just weird. But I'll tell you what. My oldest is 14 now, and he's had a phone for about 9 months at this point. And we looked at his phone just last week, me and him, this guy just checking in on screen time, and he uses his phone about an hour a day. That is 6 hours less than most of his peers. That's the lowest, and when I say most, I mean the next lowest kid I found was 6 hours more than that. It's weird, but weird, I'll tell you, is good. We also have some rules around his phone. We have a bedtime for his phone that's before his bedtime, and when his phone goes to sleep, it sleeps in my room, not his. We have some real clear rails. And I'll tell you, all those things, they don't work if it doesn't start with you as a parent. For Sarah and I, we are weird with our phones. For me, I leave my phone most of the time on do not disturb. Why? Because I don't want to be disturbed. That's why. I currently, let's check it right now. Let's get the real actual up-to-date number here. How many text messages do I have? 620 unread text messages at this exact moment. And you're like, what? What if the president is texting you right now? He's probably not, okay? It's fine. Listen, God is omnipresent. We talked about this earlier. God can be omnipresent. God can be always accessible to everybody. I can't. And so I'm not going to try to be. I just want to give you permission in your life. You don't have to try to keep up with the rat race of technology. You can put some different rails in your life and do things differently. My hope and my prayer for you is that over these 40 days, some of the changes that you make stick. that they become rails that you keep riding for the rest of your life and that you think about this thing differently from here on out. Two, some tools, quick tools. I mentioned the 40 days of the devotional, 40 days of reading scripture with me and many other people inside the Crossroads app. Would love for you to commit to doing that. Would love to see you there. I'll be there tomorrow morning. I wake up early. My journal will beat your journal in there. I promise. That's my goal anyway. Hopefully that happens. Get it in there. And in number two, to connect you closer to God, we're also going to do every single Monday for the duration of this fast, now through Easter, nights of prayer at every site and online at 7 p.m. We'd love to see you back. Now, the caveat is when we say night of prayer, we mean night of prayer. It's not like message and smoke and lights and big band, the whole thing. No, it's come and pray. Pray towards what God cares about. Pray towards things like DePaul. Pray towards the things that break his heart. Pray towards the things that he wants to transform and ask him to transform you. That's what we'll be doing every single Monday. I promise you, if you'll engage, if you'll endure the daily discomfort of being conformed to Christ, you will change. Why? Because if you consume courage, you become more courageous. If you consume power, you become more powerful. If you consume the peace of God, you become less anxious. If you consume the bravery that he gives, if you spend time with him training you, you'll find yourself the kind of person who has the bravery and the courage to go out and change the world. That's what will happen. Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much that you don't just leave us the way we are. That would have been totally acceptable, God. You could have said, I saved you good enough, but you didn't. You said, I saved you, and I'm going to make you like me. And I bless you for that, God. I'm asking for everybody here, everybody watching online, that you would do exactly what you say you will, that you would conform us to your image, and that through us, you transform the world. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for being with us. If you want prayer, prayer is down front. Otherwise, we'll see you next week for our series on being Amish. Bye.